Thank you for, again, the hospitality of the RCC. For me, it's a pleasure to work with the RCC, as I'm one of the Israeli delegates of the Kollel, so religious Zionism is very dear to my heart. Not everyone here knows me, so I'll just start with a little self-introduction and then we'll begin the shiur. I was born in Wales, in Cardiff, the capital of Wales. At the age of 18, I went for a year in, I wasn't born to a Frum family, but slowly but surely me and my sisters and I became Frum. At the age of 18, I went to Yeshiva Tokotel. There I remained for 9 years. I did Hesder, and now we are here. This is my second year on Shlichut here with the YU Torah and Siyum Kollel. So before we start in earnest, one of the big claims against the state today and how it can't be racist, Micha Gulatin, was the fact that the leaders are not from, many of the people involved are not from, and in the utopian Jewish vision, we wouldn't have thought that perhaps the Medina would have been created in this way, and as such they try and bring proof from that the Medina of today cannot be part of the messianic vision of Judaism. They do not make up this notion. This notion has sources in the Gemara. Many of the claims against the Zionism today do have sources, something to base themselves on in the Gemara, yet it's up to us to try and understand what these Gemaras mean and not just to read them at face value and from that come to a conclusion. So if you open up your booklets on page 1, there's a source here. We won't see this whole source. When I skip, I'll tell you when. So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin Perichelik is full of Gemaras talking about the eventual redemption, however it will happen, whether it be through tshuva, whether it not be through tshuva, whether it be with or without redemption, a repentance, I'm saying. So it says here in source 1, Amarav, kalu kol hakitzin, ven hadvar toloy ela b'tshuva ma'asim tovim. All the ends have passed, and the only thing which is left is tshuva. Meaning, through history we could have brought forward the redemption, had we wanted. We could have tried to bring Mashiach this way and that way. Says Rav, that's not true anymore. The only way you can bring Mashiach, bring the redemption, is through tshuva, repentance, and good deeds. So Rashi explains in the second line, Rashi b'tshuva, im kol Yisrael, not just half, not just a majority. He literally says, kol Yisrael osin tshuva, chozrim b'tshuva yavo, vim lav lo yavo. According to Rashi's understanding of Rav's opinion, all of Israel needs to do tshuva. Without all of Israel doing tshuva, Mashiach cannot come. So that's quite an extreme opinion, but it's from the Gemara. V'shmuel amar, dayo le'evel she'amod be'evlo. So Shmuel says, it is enough for a mourner to remain in his mourning. Meaning, as Rashi will explain, in the fourth chunk, dayo le'evel she'amod be'evlo, dayo l'kosh baruch hu she'amod kama yamim v'yimino achor. So generally, I should have said this before, many people don't explain that Rashi. Many people explain that the mourner is actually the people of Israel, and it's enough for us to be in mourning. Rashi doesn't explain it like that. Rashi explains that who are the people mourning? Who is the mourner here? It is Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is mourning. Kromai, im lo yasu tshuva, eno omed be'evlo koyimim, ela vadai katz ledavar. If Am Yisrael do not do tshuva, then he will go through his mourning process. Kodesh Baruch Hu, God, will go through his mourning process. Lishna achuna da le'evil. And then Rashi brings the other more common understanding. Dayan Yisrael tsar galut. Afir b'lo tshuva nigalim. So Rashi brings two opinions. Either Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one who's mourning, or the Jewish people are ones that are mourning. But there will be a certain period of time, and if he sees we don't do tshuva, he will bring the redemption. Now this, Shmuel and Rav are both Amoraim. And the Gemara says in the fifth, this is the larger part of Gemara, the Gemara then says it's a Tanaic debate. It's not even Amoraic. The discussion between Rav and Shmuel actually goes back even further in history. We're not going to see all of this. We're going to see a back and forth between two Tanaim who actually share the same opinions of Rav and Shmuel. So it says, Kisanai. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Im Yisrael sim tshuva nigalim. If Am Yisrael do tshuva, then they will be saved. Vim la, ein nigalim. If they don't do tshuva, there will be no geula. If there's no repentance, there will be no redemption. So Rabbi Yeshua says, Imenos in tshuva, eni galim. He asks, really? Is it so that without tshuva there will be no repentance? Or there will be no redemption? El HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamid lehem melech shegzeirotav kashot kaman. Rabbi Yeshua says, if they don't do tshuva, it won't be the end. Rather, what will happen? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring an evil king whose gzeirot, whose laws against us will be so extreme they will be like those of Haman. V'Yisrael sin tshuva u'machziran lemutav. And we actually do tshuva not from will, but rather through force, that we are forced by some evil king to do tshuva. So at the end of the day, both these opinions tie it in with tshuva. Just one is a voluntary tshuva, and one, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you will do tshuva, but forced by an evil king. But then there's a slightly different understanding, as the Gemara will say now at the end of the second line of the fifth paragraph. Tanya idach. But hold on, there's a different teaching. Rabbi Elezer Omer, Im Yisrael Sin Tshuva Nigalim. Now, we're not going to read all of this. They go back and forth. We need to remember this very central point for the end source, one of the end sources. They go back and forth quoting Pesukim non-stop, quoting verses non-stop. One Tana says this, one Tana says that. They go back and forth. I think they bring in total 10 or 12 Pesukim in total, each one proving the other one's opinion. So we'll just see a few of them. Tanya idach. Rebbe Zorme. Im Yisrael osin tshuva nigalim. Shneema shuvu vanim shovvim. Arpeem moshuvotechem. So, Rabbi Eliezer says, "Shuvu vanim shavavim." You rebellious children need to do tshuva. Arpe, and I will make, and I will heal your wounds. Amal Rabbi Yeshua, hold on, but have we not already learned? V'lo kvar ne'emar, chinam nimkartem v'lo bechesev tigalu. But have we not already learned elsewhere that you were sold for free, and you also be redeemed not through money, meaning just as you were sold, you will be redeemed. How were we sold? How did we go into exile? We went into exile with no mitzvot. Therefore, you will return with no mitzvot. It's not got anything to do with your religious observance. Chinam nimkartem b'avodah zarah. You were sold because of your avodah zarah, because of not having served God. V'lo b'chesed tigalu, lo b'tshuva u'masim tovim. You will not be redeemed through good deeds. You will be redeemed through other things. Just as you were exiled in such a way, you will also be redeemed in a similar way. So if you skip now to the end of this paragraph, two lines up in the middle. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua. This is the last proof, which is going to, excuse the phrase, shut up Rabbi Eliezer, because he actually remains silent after this last proof. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua. V'alo kvar ne'emar v'shma et ha'ish lebush abadim asher me'mal le'meimei ha'yor v'yorom yimino v'smolo el ha'shamayim v'shpa b'chai ha'olam ki le'moed mo'adim v'chatsi v'chlot nafas yada yad im kodesh techlena kol eile v'gomer. So he quotes a very long pasuk, and what's Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer held that redemption can only come through repentance. V'shatak Rabbi Eliezer. Eliezer is quiet. So what does it mean, shtika? What does silence mean? We'll see later. But first we'll get to the Marashah. The Marashah was born in Krakow in 1555 and passed away in 1631. Just to understand what the different shitot are, the different opinions. To put everything into a perspective. I'm Rabbi Eliezer in source 2. Im Yisrael osin tshuva, dayinu tshuva rotzonit mitzad atzman. As I said, Rabbi Eliezer holds that they will do tshuva from their own will, voluntarily. V'shiv lo Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says no. Da'u kra b'tshuva hechachit kama k'dikama le'el mamid lehem melech machzan lemutav. So the first girsa, the first version of the discussion we saw, everyone agrees that tshuva is central. Yet one is voluntary and one is forced. But later on we saw that Rabbi Yeshua did not connect it to tshuva. Rather, we will be without any good deeds when the redemption happens. Now we'll get more into the sugya. If you see the subtitle, Science of Rabbi Eliezer, there's a concept in halacha, in many sugyas, shtika kohoda. Silence is like admittance. If someone accuses you of something and you do not defend yourself, then we take that as admittance of the sin, or admittance of what he is being accused of. So interesting, this discussion also features in the Talmud Yerushalmi. And the end of this sukkah is slightly different. If you look in source 3, Instead of saying v'shatak Rabbi Eliezer, it says istalik Rabbi Eliezer. What does istalik Rabbi Eliezer mean? It means he removed himself, which is even more of a proof that he actually admitted he was wrong. Rav Nathan Freeland, who was born in 1808 in Kovna in Lita, he was a Talmud of the Rebbe Zondel Slanter. He understands, he was also a Talmud of Rav Kalisher, the one of the first religious Zionists, we put him into context, the first religious Zionist, and he went around with Rav Kalisher's blessing, encouraging the buying of land in Israel. So he says something very interesting. Chatma Shama Gemara, in the second paragraph of source 3, Chatma Shama Gemara Shatak Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara ends with, and Rabbi Eliezer was silent. V'amali Mori V'Rabbi Agon Rabbi Zondel Salanter. He quotes Rabbi Zondel Salanter, Kishtika Koda Damya. This silence is like admittance. He's actually admitting that he is wrong. Tshuva is not, sorry, repentance has got nothing to, redemption has got nothing to do with voluntary repentance. Dimken Lama Tzucha Gemara Dafka Polosem Shatak Rabbi Eliezer. It ends like this to tell us, to teach us, that Rabbi Eliezer admits that he is wrong. So, if we do say that tshuva or the redemption has nothing to do with repentance, if we possibly like that, we haven't clarified if we possibly like that, then how are we ever going to know the redemption is on its way? If we don't. If we can't count how many mitzvahs are going on outside to say, oh, Mashiach is about to come, everyone's doing mitzvahs, what is going to be the sign that Mashiach is on his way? So for those who learn with me on Thursday nights, this is a Gemara we've seen many times. V'amar Rabbi Abba, in source 4. Ein lecha ketz mugule mezeh. There's no clearer end, sign of an end, sign that Mashiach is coming than this. Shneimar. V'atem harei Yisrael ampechem tnu v'filchem tisu l'ami Yisrael ki kevu labo. And you, the mountains of Israel, give out, lift up your branches and give out your fruits to the nation of Israel because they are close to coming. Meaning, the mountains of Israel, prepare yourself, the ingathering of the exiles is about to happen. Rabbi Abba says, that many people, I think I even mentioned this in the last Yishur, many people bring Mark Twain. In every B'nai Akiva Pula I was in when I was growing up, Mark Twain was brought in with connection to Zionism because Mark Twain visited, saw a desolate land, and then we always compare it to today where, Baruch Hashem, the land of Israel is blossoming. But this source in the Sanhedrin tells us, if you see the land of Israel blossoming, you know Mashiach is on his way. Now, Rav Svi Yehuda Cook, Rav Cook's son, who followed him to be the Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz Arav, he wants to understand, this ma'amar of the trees giving fruits is on the same daf, is on the same page of the Gemara, as it actually features after this Gemara, of the discussion, yes tshuva, no tshuva, do we need repentance to show that the redemption is coming? And he understands, and we won't see it inside, but this is what he basically says. Why does it come now? It comes now to say, we do not necessarily need repentance for redemption. So how are you going to know the Mashiach is on his way? You see, if the land of Israel is blossoming, that is the reason the Gemara brings this ma'amar, this statement of Rabbi Abba. We don't know anymore. We don't need repentance necessarily for redemption to come. And as such, how are we going to be able to look out the window and know if Mashiach is on his way? You look outside and you see if the land of Israel is blossoming. That's what Rav Svi Yehuda understands. There's another concept which I think is well known, that if we do tshuva, a general concept, if we do tshuva, Mashiach will come quicker. And this is based on a pasuk, bi'itach ishena, that it will come in its time, but speedily, and perhaps we can understand two things from this. So Shmot Rabba explains an idea in source 5 on page 2. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael. So Rabbi Yochanan says that Kodesh Baruch Hu said to the nation of Israel, Afa pisha natati kitzba leketz, sheyavo, ben osim tshuva, ben she'en osim tshuva, bonata iba. Even though I set an end, whether you do tshuva or you don't do tshuva, there will be a final end. There is a, I have opened up my calendar, opened up, I think you call it a calendar in America, we call it something else, a diary, we call it a diary. Kosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, opened up his calendar and put an X on the day where the last possible coming of Mashiach can be. But then, at the end of that line, Im osim tshuva, afilu yom achad, the nation of Israel only to hold out for one day of doing tshuva, ani mevi'o ta shelo bonata. There is a set time. There is an X on his calendar saying, I will bring Mashiach. But if Am Yisrael does tshuva for one day, Haveyom im b'kolo tishmau, I will bring Mashiach on that day if you listen to that voice, if you learn to listen to the voice of Kosh Baruch. And in source 6, a similar idea, Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Rami, Ketiv b'ita v'ketiv achishena. There's a contradiction. This pasuk says, b'ita, and it says, b'achishena. It says, Mashiach, Geula will come in its time and will also come speedily. That is a contradiction in terms in the same verse. This verse says that Mashiach will come in its time and speedily. So says the Gemara, this is a well-known saying, Zachu, if they merited, Achishena. If they merited, then I will speed the coming of Mashiach. Lo Zachu, Bita. If not, it will come in that time which I, Kodesh Baruch Hu, wrote in my calendar all those years ago. So now we've seen a few general ideas, but according to whom is the halacha? We've seen people explain the Gemara, we've seen that there is a possibility of speeding up the Geula by bringing Mashiach. But this Gemara alone suggests that there are two contradictory opinions, that perhaps we need tshuva, or perhaps we don't. So now we'll get into the Rishonim and Achronim and their understanding of how we paskin. So Sadia Gaon, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva Sura in Babel, who passed away in 942, he says a statement. Manim anachnu, in source 7. Maminim anachnu. Shu natan lishibudenu shnei zmanim. We believe that Kosh Baruch gave for us two times. Hechamem zman hachuva v'asheni zman haketz. He gave us a time in the calendar of if we do tshuva, and a second, a final time. So it says in many Israeli adverts, you call them infomercials, when there's a sale, we say when there's a sale on, it's 50% off, and or until this certain date, or until we sell out. So that's the sale is only until then, or until we sell out, or until this certain date. So this is what Rav Sadia Gaon says. Whichever one comes first, that's your deal. Whether the date of tshuva comes first, or whether the date of the final end comes first, he'll take any of them. It doesn't matter. He'll take whether it's, if you don't do tshuva, he'll take that date. And if you do tshuva, he's willing to bring it forward. Imasinu tshuva, lo yibit lekeis. He's not going to wait around saying, hold on, you've done tshuva, you've repented, but I put a date in the calendar. I don't do rain checks. This is the only date. There's one date in the calendar. No, if we actually do tshuva, then he's going to bring it forward. Vimlo, if we don't do tshuva, nisher ad zman ketz. And if we don't do tshuva, then he will have to, because that's the system he built, he will wait until the end. Yadanu, Shim tshuvatenu lo tia shlema, we know that if our repentance will not be complete, nisher ad shishalema kitz, we will have to wait until that time comes where there's that X in the calendar. V'akasher ishalema kitz v'lo nashuv, and when that end comes, when that date in the calendar, if it comes, if we don't do tshuva beforehand, and we won't repent, eshari shitieh hashua v'anachum chotim, it's possible that the Yeshua can come, God says, okay, it's not what I wanted, I would have preferred for you to do tshuva, but a date's a date. And I'm not going to do a rain check. I set a date in the calendar that whether or not you do tshuva, I will bring Yeshua. So you're sinners, but I made a promise. And now Rav Sadia Gaon says something shocking, because this was over 1,000 years ago before he wrote it. And he's saying already back then, only 1,000 years have gone of exile. V'keiron sha'arach hazman v'lo shavnu yachzireinu b'li tshuva. Since the time has gone past already, we've been 1,000 years in exile, and we still haven't done tshuva, he's going to forget about tshuva and just save us anyway. We've gone through worse things in the last 1,000 years than Rav Sadia Gaon had to go through in his period. We've gone through pogroming, we've gone through the Holocaust. He said that because of the length of the galut that we've gone through, God must be bringing it without tshuva. So there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Amar shomer taboker v'gam laila im tavayin bayu shuvu etayu. If you want to, im tavayin bayu in Aramaic, baya means to question or to request. So the end of the pasuk im tavayin bayu v'shuvu etayu. If you really want it, shuvu, come back. So Rashi explains in just under source 8, im tavakshu bakashetchem limahera keitz. If you really request to shorten the end, to bring that date in the calendar forward, shuvu etayu, do tshuva. Okay, so we've seen a few sources which say we can speed it up by doing tshuva. Rabbeinu Bechaya, one of the Rishonim, a Talmud of the Rashba, says something similar. Ulfi da'ati asu ze b'chavna k'mura lefi inyan ha'parsha. Ki yesh b'parsha itarut v'remez v'avtacha l'Yisrael b'gula she'ibud arba malchuyot. V'gam yesh ba od remez ki ha'gula tluya b'tshuva. V'af im lo yasu tshuva ei efshar litacher mezman ha'ketz ha'katzuv v'hegi ha'tor ha'ketz ha'katzuv lo yesh ha'Yisrael shum avdut bilti avdat Hashem yitbarach. When that end comes, that date in the calendar comes, we will not be enslaved to anyone else. We will be enslaved only to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We will serve God. And now he is learning this whole teaching from the parasha of the Yovel, of the Jubilee year, that you can redeem land through before the Jubilee year with money, and if once the Jubilee year comes, the land returns automatically. So he says, many of the Kabbalistic Mefarshim understand often the Pshat as in a Kabbalistic way, and this is what he understands this also. V'amar, in the third line, in the middle of source 9. V'amar, o hasiga yado v'igal. If he has enough money, he can redeem. Klomar b'kesef. What's kesef? He can use his money to redeem himself. V'hi ha'gula b'tshuva ha'nimshel kesef. And that is the gula which is compared to kesef. A man can redeem himself through repentance. He can speed it up. He doesn't have to wait until the Jubilee year. Ki k'shem sh'kesef lavan v'tor, just as the silver itself is white and pure, kacha tshuva metaheret hanefesh umabenet avonot. Just as silver is pure and white, so too redemption is pure and whitens the sins. V'amal, v'im lo yigel be'ele. But if he chooses not to redeem through money, shim lo yigel alidei tshuva. If he chooses not to redeem himself through repentance, בשנות הגלות האלה, ויצא בשנות היובל, הוא ובניו עמו. כלומר, שלא יתאחר זמן הגאולה מן הקץ הקצוב ואילך. There is no way, there is always going to be the Jubilee year. In Judaism, we always had a Jubilee year. And so too, the process of, just as the process of a slave redeeming himself, so too the Jewish people. The Jewish people have the national Jubilee, that Jubilee which God put an X in the calendar and said, that Jubilee will come and you will become free. You will be redeemed. So too the Jewish people have that chance. And so too, just as the Eved, if he gets money from his family and wants to redeem himself, he can get out early. So too, we can get out early by paying. How do we pay? By doing tshuva, by doing ma'asim tovim. But that doesn't mean it's conditioned on, again, that doesn't mean it's conditioned on repentance. If we want to speed it up, if we want to fast track our passport out of Galus, then out of the exile we are currently in, the spiritual and physical, then how will that happen? By doing tshuva. So the Abarbanel, who passed away in 1508, was a rabbi in Spain and was a big fighter against the Geirush, against the Spanish exile. He wrote a lot, and it's understandable why he wrote a lot about the coming of Messiah. He was in turbulent times and hoped that perhaps Mashiach would come during his days because of the great suffering. And in source 10, this is what he says. Menatana siba begulatam, ba'omro ki koa ma'ashem, chinam nimkartem, ve'lo b'kesef tigalu. U'pirshu ha'mefarshim, chinam nimkartem. The mefarshim already explained. Chinam nimkartem, you were sold freely for nothing. Ela ba'avanot, v'lo b'chesef, tigalu, ela b'tshuva. They said, you were sold for free, and they've understood, other mafarshim have understood, that the only way you are going to be redeemed is through doing tshuva. Uli divrem, and according to their words, ha'ikach ha'semin ha'sefer, The ikkar of this pasuk, if you really want to say, those mafarshim who explain this pasuk about a slave settling themselves, I'm sorry, about this pasuk saying how the nation of Israel will be redeemed is through tshuva. Well, the pasuk doesn't say anything about that. Upashata ketuv more, and he disagrees with the part of that understand the pasuk, and he brings his own explanation. Lo yigalus, he says, there will be no geula through, there will be no redemption through tshuva. It won't happen. Lo yigalu metocha tshuva ma'asim tovim she'asu kira'a hanavi. The Navi saw, the Navi gave this nevuah, understood, Am Yisrael will not do tshuva. They won't do tshuva. And as such, all those times will pass and God will have to bring redemption without our repentance. And it will only be on the day which is marked down in the calendar, hopefully it's soon. Because the apostle compared their enslavement, their exile, to their redemption. That there will be, unfortunately, sinners, just as they were exiled because of their sins, they will be redeemed in a time when they're also sinning. So the Abarbanel would, at first glance, laugh in the face of anyone who says, the gula can't be now because there are sinners in Israel, because the Abarbanel might even say the more sinners, the more likely Mashiach is going to come. I'm not saying that we need to encourage and not keeping the mitzvahs, but according to him, just as in the exile, we were first exile and second exile, we were either exiled for sinat chinam, for shvichot damim, for spilling of blood, or for idol worship, all the different things, we were evil people and we deserved it. So we deserved exile, and according to his pasuk, according to the Abarbanel, in a similar way, we will be redeemed. In a similar spiritual situation. Okay. So Rav Yosef Elbow, who passed away in 1444, he wrote a sefer called Sefer Ikarim, which is quoted from, which deals with the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarim, the 13 principles of faith. In source 11 at the bottom of page 2. Amar David HaMelech, Yachel Yisrael El Hashem, the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel will hope towards Hashem. Ki Hashem HaChesed, because with God is the Chesed, v'arbeh mufdut, and many, and He has the ability to redeem. A big ability. Rotzeh lomar, so how does Rav Yosef Elbow understand this pasuk? Rotzeh lomar. Al titiyashu m'likavot el Hashem b'sivat rov avonot. Don't give up the faith in the Geula because of your many sins. Don't say that we've sinned so greatly, God will not bring the redemption now. You will never be able to have enough tzchuyot to overtip the balance against the bad things, unfortunately, that the Jewish nation have done in the past. The gula will only be through the depths of suffering, through chesed, through God's generosity. The af, Im yibru avonot harbe mufdut. And even if you, on page 3, the top of page 3, Im yibru avonot harbe imofdut. If you increase your sins, harbe imofdut. And this, I should really underline this top line because it blew me away when I was preparing again for the shiur. This is something which we can always understand, that sometimes people going into the Yom HaNaim can get a bit depressed. We didn't have such a great year. How can God forgive? How can God forgive our nation for everything we've done? This is a very amazing lesson. Ki efshar she'koach ha'chote lachto yoter gadol mikoach Hashem yitbarach l'mechol. No one can sin more than God's ability to forgive. It's not possible. God, this pasuk says, "Va'beh imof dud." God has a great ability to redeem us. We cannot sin more than God's ability to forgive us, and as such, no matter what we do, God will forgive us. Im ken hu yifteh et yisrael mikol avonotav. Ulezeh ma shatilu rabotenu hagula klali b'zman u'b'zchut. And that's why Chazal have taught us in Sanhedrin, which we've already quoted, Hagula Klalit, the general redemption of the Jewish nation will happen on that date in the calendar or through merit by speeding up. Amu Ani Hashem Bita Achishena, which we already quoted, Bita or Achishena, in its time, or speed it up. Those are the two possibilities. And now I'm going to take you to someone who says, actually, it is we paskin that it is actually conditioned on repentance. Without repentance, there can be no redemption. But repentance, according to him, is a very Zionist repentance. So this is Rabbi Yehuda Alkalai, who is a rabbi in Serbia. Serbia was not known for its large Jewish community, but Rabbi Yehuda Alkalai was one of the big gedolim, one of the big rabbis of his generation. He became very friendly with Rav Kalischer. They were the two big Zionist, first big two Zionist rabbis. He wrote very, very strongly about it, and he actually managed to make Aliyah 4 years before his death. He made Aliyah in 1874. He passed away in 1878. Rav Kalischer also tried to make Aliyah, but he passed away before he was able to. So Rav Yehuda Alkalai is something which is very, at first glance, it's a huge chiddush, it's a huge new idea, but he says this. Tshuva prati. There's two types of tshuva. There's a personal tshuva. Every Jewish person, when he comes on Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, he repents for his sins every day. Slach lanu, even though we say in the plural, we're actually trying to repent for ourselves. And then there's the national. How do we nationally repent? So he says this in source 12. Tshuva pratit. רוצה לומר ששוב החוטא מחטאו על פי גדרי התשובה שגבלו הראשונים. So the individual repentance is for the sinner to return or to repent from his sins according to the guidelines, the Rishonim, the Rambam, and Hilchot Tshuva set out for us. How do we do tshuva? Look in halachic books. הלוי הם כתובים בספר הרוקח ובספר ראשי חוכמה ובספר חוכמת הלבנות ודומיהם. Look in all these different spharm. You can see enough books which will tell you how do you do tshuva as an individual. התשובה הזאת קדמה לעולם. This kind of tshuva, there are a few things which were created before the creation of the world. So one of this, we learn from different places. So this tshuva pratit, this individual repentance was created before the world was created. Kidita בתלמוד בבלי מסכת נדרים, תניא, שבעה דברים נבראו קודם שנבראו העולם. So the seven things were created before the world was created. התורה ותשובה וגן עדן וגיהינום וכיסא הכבוד בית המקדש ושמו של משיח. Seven things were created before the world was created. The Torah was created before the world was created. Tshuva was created before the world was created. Gan Eden, Gehinnom. The throne of glory that Kadosh Baruch Hu sits on, the Beit HaMikdash, somehow was created before the world was created, and the name of Mashiach was already written down in Kadosh Baruch Hu's calendar, in the friends section. He already had that written down also. V'od kama chama ma'amrei tshuva lechazal halo v'sifatam. Why is it called the individual tshuva? Because that's what you need as an individual. Every individual does tshuva in different ways. If I have eaten something asur, I need to do tshuva for that. Someone who's never eaten anything which is treif never has to do tshuva for eating treif. The more extreme the sin, the more he has to do tshuva. But someone who has only, I'm trying to think of a small sin. I don't want to give marks. So someone who's only done a minuscule sin has to do a lot less tshuva. Someone who's done a huge sin has to do a lot more. And that's why it's called individual tshuva, because everyone needs his own prescription of tshuva. But then there's also, we haven't explained, what is tshuva klalit? What is this general tshuva? HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamid lehem melech shikzeotav kasho kama machzon lemutav. I want to say, im lo yasu tshuva Leretz Yisrael. What happens? So, according to this opinion, Rabbi Yeshua says, if they don't do tshuva, then Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring an evil king, as evil as Haman, to cause them to do the general tshuva. And Rav Yehuda Alkalai just throws it in there very innocently. The last four words, before the first word, last word in the line, Im lo yasu tshuva, if we do not return to Eretz Yisrael on our own, that is tshuva kalit. General tshuva is returning to the land of Israel. And if we don't choose to return to the land of Israel, Rabbi Yehuda Alkalai says, according to Rabbi Yeshua, unfortunately an evil king will come and make us feel not so at home and force us to leave his land. Whether he knows that's the reason he's doing or not is something else, but God brings that to force us to do national tshuva. National tshuva being returning to the land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamid lehem melech shekzeotav kashot v'raot u'machzirem ba'al kocham shelo b'tovatam. He forces them to do tshuva. כי ביד חזקה ישלחם וביד חזקה יגרשם מארצו. ובעירם ובחסד וחוסר כל. ובעירום ובחסר כל, I'm sorry. You will be thrown out naked without anything, says in Tevarim, in the curses. That's how our end will be. So this is, pardon me, so this is what Rav Yehuda HaKalai says. Rav Yehuda HaKalai says, simply, tshuva klalit is what we need to do to bring the Gula. Without it, a bad king will come. And what is the tshuva klalit? The tshuva klalit is, according to Rav Yehuda HaKalai, we all need to get on a plane tomorrow and make Aliyah. And if not, then unfortunately, a evil king will come and force us to do it. So Rabbeinu Bechaye says something similar, just not in exactly the same words. We saw Rabbeinu Bechaye already, one of the Rishonim. Umi ma'akev she'ein anu nigalim. What is stopping us from having redemption? En shum dvar ma'akev ela tshuva. The only thing which is stopping us from getting redemption is the tshuva. Im tevayun bayu. If you want it, you have to do it. Kromar im atem vakshim ligael, bikshu rachamim lefanav. If you want redemption, you ask for redemption, then you have to ask for mercy from God. V'shuvu min ha'galiyot v'vau liyushayim. What is the tshuva according to the Rabbeinu Bechaye? You have to daven for it. You have to ask for rachamim. And you have to go back from the exile to Yushayim. Lamdeno ketuv b'chan shagula tluya b'tshuva. The gula, the redemption, is conditioned on repentance. Also according to Rabbeinu Bechaye, at least some of that tshuva process is involved with returning to the land. To show that you are serious, that we have repented, we need to return to the land. So the Kuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Levi, who famously wrote the Sefer Kuzari, who was a, many of the Zmirot we sing on Shabbat are written by him. He famously said, "Ani ber ma'arav libi mizrach," I am in the west and my heart is in the east. He also made Aliyah. We don't really know what came of him. There are stories that he was killed almost as soon as he got off the boat by some marauding Arab. We don't really know what his end was. We do know he got on a boat to Israel. It is not clear if he ever got there, and if he did, what became of him. So he says, "Ata takum terachem tzion," in source 14, "ki et lechenana ki vamod." This is a book which was very famous in religious Zionist circles because he seems like quite the Zionist. I mean, he is a Rishon. He passed away, we think, in 1141. But he, in his Sefer Kuzari, he speaks to this non-Jewish king as a back and forth, and praises the land of Israel non-stop, and praises and brings lots of Mamre Chazal, statements of the rabbis, the Gemara, praising the land of Israel. And the non-Jewish king, in the story, says, "So how come you're still here?" And he says, "Matzata makom cherpati, you found the place of my shame. I speak so much about Israel, yet unfortunately I have yet to make Aliyah." And because of his own writing of that, he actually put his money where his mouth was. And actually, he himself, the author of this book, in the end made Aliyah because he realized somewhat the contradiction as he was writing so much about the praise of living in the land of Israel, how he could praise it and not do it himself. So as it says here, "Ata takum terachem tzion ki ed lechenana ki vamod." The time to bring grace to the land of Israel has come. Ki vamod, because the time has come. "Ki ratzu avdecha et avnea vet afra yechoneneu." Rotze lomar, says the Kuzari, what does this pasuk mean? "Ki Yushayim omnam tibaneh." When will Yushayim be built? When will it be returned to the beauty we all know? We sing about in Yushayim Shel Zahav. When will that beauty come into reality again? In the last line of source 14, "Kshich safu bnei Yisrael la tachrit hakosef ad shichonena avnea v'afra." One of the words in Hebrew which has the most words for synonyms for is tikva. Lachil, for something to hope for, something kisufim, tikva. There's probably 10 words which mean to hope for. So when will the Gula come? When we have a kosef, tachlit hakosef, we long for the land of Israel as much as possible, that's when the Gula will come. We need to show, whether we're there or not, we need to show how much we long for return, and that is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Gula. And then the Rambam says, and Israel will be redeemed solely through tshuva. "Kol ha-Nevim kulam sivu al ha-tshuva," in source 15. All the Nevim taught us that we need to do tshuva. Ven Yisrael nigalim elav tshuva. And the nation of Israel will only be redeemed through repentance. Ukvar hivtiach Torah shesof Yisrael la'asot tshuva besof galutam umiyad hinigalim. Says the Rambam, don't worry about it. Am Yisrael will do tshuva. We already promised that Am Yisrael will do tshuva. It's just a question of time. And they will do it. Vayak yavo alecha kol adavrim v'shavta ad Hashem elokecha v'sham Hashem v'shav Hashem elokecha. We will return to him. He will return to us. It's going to happen. Says the Kesef Mishnah, the Beit Yosef, the author of the Shulchan Aruch. Gedola tshuva shemekarevet et agula. The tshuva is so great because it brings the gula close. This, l'chora, smacks in the face of everything we've been saying so far, because it says, yes, redemption will come, but gula can't come without it. You don't need to be worried. No matter how bad spiritually the Jewish nation are doing, they'll do tshuva eventually. But he is definitely saying that without repentance, there will be no redemption. Whether that redemption will come, that's for sure. But without that repentance, it won't come. So Rabbi Yehuda Elkalai relates to this halacha in the Rambam. In source 16, this was Rabbi Yehuda Elkalai, which we saw in source 12, which explained general tshuva, the tshuva of the nation of Israel is what? A return to the land. So he says in source 16, V'atshuva kalit hazot, sivu alea kol hanevim. So he says, the Nevim commanded us all to do tshuva, which is what the Rambam just said as well. Kumo shama Rabbeinu, HaRambam, and he quotes that pasuk. Kol hanevim, sivu alea tshuva, eni sa negin alea tshuva. Rotson alomar, tshuva kalit, sheyeshuv Yisrael le'eretz HaKadosha. The Rambam didn't say what tshuva was for him. Rabbi Yehuda Elkalai is saying, what the Rambam means, without a doubt, he's not even suggesting there could be any other explanation. When the Rambam says, without tshuva, there will be no geula, without repentance, there will be no redemption, what he means is, without the Jewish nation returning to the land, there will not be redemption. So all we need to do is get on the, is to make an effort to return to the land. The Rebbe Madrohovich was one of the Rebbes. I haven't brought him on the page. The Rebbe Madrohovich was a Rebbe. He passed away. He made Aliyah in the life of Rav Kook. He said that he was a Rebbe of the Ruzhin dynasty, and he made an effort to. He had his Hasidim sign a contract that once a month they would go out into the fields and clear away stones, boulders from the outskirts of Yerushalayim, so that Yerushalayim could be continued to be built. Rav Kook and him became very, very friendly. He wrote a book called Hashalom Va'emet, about the importance of having Shalom and Emet, and Shalom Va'ava, I think Shalom Va'emet. And he basically, the most important bit of the book isn't the middle. The middle is he just brings lots of Mamre Chazal, statements of Chazal about the importance of Emet and Shalom. But the introduction and his summary at the end is the most important bit. He says basically, I'm a lover of the land of Israel, I believe in the return to the land of Israel, and I'm willing to discuss with any Gadol B'Yisrael, with any huge rabbi of the nation today, my opinion, just like they would discuss any sugya in Gittin, in Kashrus. When there's a big question in Gittin, they don't just throw out a statement, they sit for hours, analyze the facts. And the Rebbe Madrohovich says, I've analyzed the facts, I've gone through the whole sugya. Just like in halachic question, this is a question which deals with the future of the nation of Israel. And just as you, Gedolim, analyze questions on Gittin, on Input, or on Akunot, or any question of halacha, I will do the same. And once you are willing to analyze the questions I am, I will sit down with you and have a conversation. If you convince me that I am wrong, I will be convinced, but I will not be convinced by simple throwing out of statements. Here we will see in these two last sources that it's possible that the Eimah Ban Mismecha and the Rambam think very similar. Because if you look all around Sifrei Chazal, the books of the Chazal, of the Tanaim, the Maraim, there are so many different statements of how the end is going to be. If Mashiach is first, if Tichiyat HaMetim is first, if Mashiach is going to come down in a cloud, if it's going to be built by us, how is it really going to be? We have so little understanding that for someone to come And to say, because there's no tshuva, there's no geula, this can't be, is as good as me saying, at the end of the day, it's better we all do sins, and then the geula will come quicker because of the sources we've already seen. It is very hard to paskin on future times, when the future times haven't happened. And as you saw, this is why I wanted to bring, if you skip back to the first page, we skipped all this discussion. This whole discussion was then bringing psukim, verses from the Tanakh proving their own opinion. Each Tana found a pasuk, many psukim proving their own opinion. Just Rabbi Yeshua in the end found the best pasuk to prove himself, so Rabbi Ezer stayed quiet. So how can we really deal with this sugya, which is a huge sugya? Can we now decide or even raise the possibility that this might be the gula? Or should we actually say it's not? So the Eimon Bon Yismecha, who was killed in the Holocaust, before the Holocaust, he was a huge, huge anti-Zionist. His books, some of the things he wrote were very, very extreme anti-Zionist. He went to such a degree of anti-Zionism that he compared the people who learned Daf Yomi, the people who were part of the Aguda, and the Zionists in the same boat, the Daf Yomi people, because they're learning Torah as wasn't learned before. There was never a Masorah, a tradition of learning Daf Yomi, and if you're learning Daf Yomi, you're as bad as being a Zionist, and the Aguda are worse than everyone else because they're Haredi and they're Zionists, or they're not refusing Zionism as they should be. He was very, very extreme. During the Holocaust, whatever happened, he came to the realization, according to himself, which was the correct realization, which was that he had made a mistake, and he was mistaken, and he wrote a book called Eimon Bon Yismecha about Zionism, and unfortunately he was killed. The story goes that he was killed, murdered on a train on the way to one of the camps as a... The Nazis threw bread into the train to see them fight over the bread, and a Jew died for a piece of bread, and one of the Hungarian non-Jewish prisoners grabbed a piece of bread, and Rav Teichtel, the Eimon Bon Yismecha, got up and defended the Jew. He wouldn't allow the Jew to just have the bread stolen. He wasn't fighting for himself, he was fighting to defend the other Jew. The Hungarians then took revenge and unfortunately killed him. His last words were, Yafutsu mayonotai achutza, may my wellsprings burst forward. And those were his last words before dying. He wrote most of this Sefer Eimon Bon Yismecha from memory. He was in an attic in Hungary, then went back to Czechoslovakia, where he was from. He wrote the vast majority of the book by memory. Sometimes you'll see in footnotes or in the actual his own text, right now I can't remember where this pasuk is, right now I can't remember where this mission is. Most of the book, though, he's quoting very obscure sources. And unfortunately, he had to add the haskamas of Rav Kalischer onto his own book because he couldn't find anyone in the middle of the Holocaust to give him a haskama for his safe. Okay. So in Eimon Bon Yismecha he writes, V'ne'er li sh'kmo sh'aket satum v'ne'am v'en chazon k'mo chen b'ofen havayato v'eichut ha'gula eich erdchir v'eich yugmar v'eich yishtalshel hu satum v'ne'am. And it seems to me, just as the end is hidden, so too the whole process of how it will happen is hidden from us. I can give a whole shiur now on whether we need tshuva or not, whether we don't need tshuva. The Eimon Bon Yismecha says, to be honest, you can't know. It's hidden. Just as the end is hidden, how the end will come about, whether Mashiach will come on a donkey and a horse, whether Beit HaMikdash will come down in a cloud, whether we'll actually be riding on eagles, or whether it will be Nefesh B'Nefesh. I choose Nefesh B'Nefesh. We don't know how it's going to happen. Uchmo shekatav Aran b'drashotav sof terush yud aleph, in the second line now, in the Eimon Bon Yismecha, ze lo shono. This is the language of the Ran, one of the Rishonim. V'ne anu ro'im b'kula zu shel Mitzrayim sheba tu et atzmo שהייתה גאולה ובה היו רואים עצמם נגלים במקום זה היו רואים פעלים ומעשים שהם סיבת גאולתם ובכן היו נלאים לעמוד על סיבתם עד שגלה השם יתברך עניינם. The nation of Israel had no idea what was going on around them when they were being redeemed from Mitzrayim. They had no idea what was... When we look back, it seems very... This whole story seems very, very straightforward. There were 10 plagues. They were leading towards one thing. The nation of Israel leading Mitzrayim. Leaving Mitzrayim. According to the Ran, the Jews in the time of the redemption from Egypt had no idea what was going on. When were they prepared to believe it? When God, when He, with His own glory, was revealing it towards them, to them. Kol sheken anachnu, all the more so us. Shalui shniyet sichlim yoter begula atida mipnei ze atida. All the more so in the future redemption, it makes even more sense that we will be more dumbfounded. We will be more confused. We will have no idea what will happen. Mipnei ze katav Rambam, and we're going to see this Rambam, the next source. Shelo yedu hadvarim haem ech yu ad shi. We will not know how they will be until they come to pass. We have no clear understanding. We have no clear understanding until it will happen. Rambam wrote many, I'm not sure if anyone has Taimani friends here, many of the Taimanim is split into two groups, those who pass them by the Rambam and those who don't. Those who pass them by the Rambam because the Rambam pass them for them, they were allowed to, they didn't have to give up their lives to convert to Islam, they could pretend, they could be like Muslim Moranos because it's a monotheistic religion, and they could pretend to convert, and they didn't have to give up their lives. Because of this sack, the Judaism of Tayman was saved, and many of them took on, as a sign of thanks, as a sign of great of recognizing his greatness, took on the Rambam's sack as the halacha. So in this Igeret Tayman, he writes this, Aval echut amidato, we will not know how it happens. And so says the Rambam in this final source here. Amu chachamim, ein ben olam hazeh limot ha-mashiach ela shibu malchiyot bilvad. The only difference between this world and the next, or the yimot ha-mashiach, is the enslavement of the kingdoms. We will be free. Yirem pshutan shel divrei hanaviim, and it seems from the pshat of divrei hanaviim, he now is puzzling. What is his opinion? How will the geula happen? It seems from the pshat of the words that b'tchilat yimot ha-mashiach, the start of the days of Mashiach, tiyeh milchamet Gog u'Magog. Start, there will be a big war. V'shekodem milchamet Gog u'Magog yamod navi le'ashei Yisrael. It would seem that before the big war, Gog u'Magog, a navi will come to straighten out the ways of Israel, to prepare their hearts. Shemar, Hine Anochi Sholeach Achem Et Eliyahu Navi. I will send for you the Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi will straighten you up. Ve'eno ba lo letameh hatahor ve'lo letaher hatameh. He doesn't come to purify the impure, to impurify the pure. Ve'lo lifsol anshim shem b'chezkar kashrut, and not to cancel out those who we think are kasher people. Ve'lo lachshim mishuchzak pesulei ela l'sum shalom b'olam. Eliyahu HaNavi comes to bring peace to the world. Shenemar v'ashev lev avot al banim, to bring peace back to the world. Ve'yesh min hachachamim shomrim shekodem biyat Mashiach yavo Eliyahu. There are those that say, the Chachamim that say, that before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu will come. Now in the underlined, v'chol elu advarim v'chiyotze bem lo yida adam ech yu ad shiu. I've said what I think will happen. According to me, the Rambam, this will be the Seder, and someone else said something else. Someone else said something else, but I am saying simply, this is what I think. But we won't really know how it will be until it will be. Shidvarim stumim hein etzel ha-navi. Even the Nevi'im contradict each other, it would seem. It would seem even the Nevi'im contradict each other, and their words are hard to understand. Gam ha-chachamim ein lehem kabbalah b'dvarim. Even the Tanaim have no Kabbalah. There's no Masorah. As we just saw, there's Machloket Tanaim. It's not just the Aguda today say this, the Datilumi say this say this, the Eid HaCharis says this. It's not like that at all. This Machloket started by the Tanaim, and even by the Nevi'im, it wasn't clear to them. Ela lefi hachirei ha-psukim, it is according to the understanding. The psukim are hard to understand. Ulefi hachirei shem machloket b'dvarim elu. Ve'al kol panim, ein sidur hava. Now this is what's important. Ve'al kol panim, ein sidur havayat ha-dvarim elu ve'lo diktukim ikar b'dat. How it's going to happen is not what's important in Judaism. ולעולם לא יתעסק אדם בדברי האגדות. So we've pasquin against the Rambam today. The Rambam says we should never involve ourselves with learning these sources. So we've gone a little bit against the Rambam today. You shouldn't involve yourself in these sources. You shouldn't have an obsession with understanding how the Mashiach will come, because we don't really know. I could teach this year and tomorrow someone else will come and completely contradict me, because there are sources out there which say otherwise. You shouldn't lengthen in them. Hopefully I am under an hour still, so I'm not sure if that's lengthened, but you shouldn't lengthen. And you shouldn't make them the ikar of Judaism. They don't bring fear of God, they don't bring love of God. And you shouldn't also, the Rambam was very against what many other rabbis did, which was to work out when Mashiach is going to come. The Ramban did it, and unfortunately he was wrong. His date passed. Many of the Rishonim tried to work out according to Sefer Daniel, which does hint towards when it's going to be, but it's very, very hard to understand. May those who try and work out the end, may they air empty out, meaning may they die. Rather you should believe in the general idea. Says the Rambam something very simple. No one can walk up today and say, this is how it's going to be, and if it doesn't fit, and if today's events do not fit into X, Y, and Z, then if they don't fit to X, Y, and Z, or Z as we say in Britain, if they don't fit in X, Y, and Z, then it can't be the Gula. Says the Rambam something very, very simple. We will never know until it happens. So these people outside may be right. It may not be the Gula, but they cannot know. As we have seen many sources which contradict their opinion. Many sources which actually pass on this Gemara and say the Tshuva Klali, the general Tshuva, is returning to the land of Israel. And many sources which say we don't even need Tshuva, and rather we can never sin more than God's ability to forgive us. And as such, no matter what we do, the Gula will come. So I hope many of what we've said, it was clear. Much of what we've said is clear. On the bottom of this page is a summary, and on the back page is an appendix of the sources which second the opinions we saw: the Gra, the Rav Yonatan Ivershitz, the Yaakov Mamlers, Rav Chaim Vital, Rav Avodah Baratanua. The many sources here which come as second proofs to what we've already said. But I hope it's become clear. Those who say that the Gula cannot come because of the situation in Israel have unfortunately not much to stand on, because we will not know how it will be, and not only do they not have much to stand on because we do not know how it will be, there are many sources which contradict that opinion. Many of the Rishonim, many of the Achronim think that maybe the sign of the coming of Mashiach might actually be a lack of tshuva. And I'll finish off with the Sitz Eliezer. The Sitz Eliezer was a Haredi posek who wrote a book called Hilchot Medina. He was a Zionist. Some of his descendants don't like to remember him as that, but he was a Zionist and a supporter of Israel. He said that, we'll finish with this, that why was the Geula brought through the non-religious and not through the religious? Because if it had come through the religious, we would have thought they are only returning to the land of Israel to perform the mitzvahs connected to the land. Why are they returning to the land? To do Shemitah, to do Trumot and Masrot. By the very fact that it came through the irreligious, it is a sign that this has come as a message from God, as a spark from Min HaShamayim, and He is controlling everything behind the scenes. And with that, thank you everyone for coming.
Thank you, Rabbi Liss, very much. Wonderful, wonderful. Question? You got a question? Please.
This may sound simplistic, but the original Gula from Mitzrayim,
right,
they didn't do any teshuva. They were goel because of they reached the 49th level,
right,
of Tumah. And if they had gone, stayed 1 second more, they would have been lost forever.
Right.
So can't we say the same thing now? We are in a very deep level of Tumah.
We just saw that the comparison with Mitzrayim, that they didn't know what was going on. I mean, there were other sources which said this. Just as you were exiled, so too you will be redeemed without any sins. So too, there's definitely comparison there. People don't like understanding. Ezra was a huge tzaddik. Nehemiah was a huge tzaddik when they returned. But many of the followers that returned in Bayit Sheni, as we've discussed in our Chavruta or the Chavura, the Gedolim stayed in Babel. Who came back? The Sufi, those who didn't have any yichus, didn't know who they related to, the Mamzerim. No, they were the bad people of society, and they are Dafka, the people that came back. Fine, so the leaders were religious, but the vast majority of the civil which came back were not the most righteous of people. People forget that was our past. And those, the descendants of those same people were the Chashmonaim. The followers of the Chashmonaim were those same people who returned from Babel with Ezra. We forget that our simple history. I was once sitting in yeshiva in Kitesman, and a cute kid dressed in black and white walked into Bein Hazman, walked into the yeshiva, and saw. So it was Bein Hazman, so everyone's sfarim was still on the makamot, and he asked, "Why do you all have chumashim on your makamot? No chumashim, sorry, Tanakh, because we learn Tanakh. By them, Tanakh isn't. Unfortunately, for many of them, Tanakh isn't seen as a something to study. They learn chumash and then they jump straight into Gemara, and they learn very seriously, Baruch Hashem. But many of them don't know the pshat of Ketuvim. If you look in Ketuvim, if you look in Ezra and Nehemiah, in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, they didn't know already about Sukkot. They'd forgotten Sukkot. The leaders may have known about Sukkot. So the Chag of Sukkot has been forgotten by that generation. The leaders knew about it, the generation. They had to send away all their non-Jewish wives. It was a bad generation. I mean, there was a... Before I came on Shlichut, we had a speaker come to us from South Africa. He now lives in Israel. He made Aliyah when he was irreligious. And he went to his irreligious family's kibbutz in the north of Israel, and they were growing pigs. And he was in shock. It was his second day in Israel, and he was seeing pigs grown, being raised, thank you, not grown, raised. And he was mamash in shock. He wasn't religious, but this seemed like a complete contradiction. So he asked them, they answered him, you don't need to be, you're in Israel already, you don't need to be religious. We're Israeli now, we're not Jewish, we're Israeli. So Baruch Hashem, that isn't the general flow of things anymore. People speak badly of many politicians, but even those who were considered anti-religious are Yair Lapid, are sitting when there was a kidnapping of the three boys. He said he sat down and opened up his siddur the first time since the bar mitzvah and sat and said to him, "Thank God the Jewish, there's been a huge from revival, may it continue." But even if it wasn't continuing, the sources tell us that even without the huge Baal Tshuva movement today in Israel, even without that, the Gula is still possible, because God's ability to forgive is unlimited. He can always forgive what we do. And as such, no matter what we do, he didn't pencil in that date in the calendar. He wrote it in pen. He's not rubbing that date out. And that the Gula will come. We just need to be patient. If we want to speed up, we can do Tshuva. If we don't want to speed up, if we're willing to wait, then we can wait.
Yeah, thank you.